what Jesus said, Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. I'll repeat that again. Therefore, whosoever, I'm a whosoever, you happen to be a whosoever. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Now, sayings of mine. This is Jesus talking. Jesus has sayings, things that he says. And he's saying, if you'll hear my sayings, hear what I say, my sayings. You can listen to a lot of preachers, a lot of teachers in the earth. I mean, they're all over the globe, and God calls people to preach. But don't listen to my sayings. I'll be the first to tell you, if I say something against what Jesus has said, you better listen to what Jesus said. You better listen to Jesus' sayings. And so this is a very key part of your walk with God, is having ears to hear Jesus' sayings. He says, whoever heareth these sayings of mine. So Jesus has sayings that are particularly his sayings, things that he kept saying, continues to say, will always say. He's not a fickle God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he keeps saying the same things forever. He's not going to change his mind about things he has said. So whosoever will hear his sayings of mine. So Jesus has embraced what he said. He believes fully in his doctrine. He fully believes what he started saying. And he began to teach and preach. Jesus was primarily a teacher and a preacher. He occupied all five offices of ministry gifts. But he said, whosoever hears and does my sayings. My sayings. See, that caught my attention. It caught my attention because I used to go to a lot of different churches. I've been everywhere. When I was 78, I'm 22 years old, and Jesus appeared to me in my living room. I'm up a holler. I'm talking holler. Y'all know what hollers are. If you're from Kentucky, you know what a holler is. I'm up, and he began to give me his word. Now, I'm a baby Christian. I just got born again, sitting at my kitchen table. Got born again through Billy Graham's ministry. I had a book called Peace with God by Billy Graham, and that was the first piece of literature I ever had put in my hands before I became a Christian. And I continued to read that book. And then I found my Bible, dug it out of a closet, and began to seek God with all my heart. And I'm thinking, well, I got to take these kids to church. Well, there's a lot of places to go to church, right? But I didn't know where to go to church. So I said, well, there's a church. And I thought everybody had the kind of experience that I had. If you're a Christian, you had the same experience that I had. And it's not true. Not everybody has the same experience I had. In fact, everybody's experience with God is totally different. You can come to Jesus many different ways. But I had a very strange encounter with God. It was just one of those kind of things that people just don't quite understand. Especially God shows up in your kitchen, your whole kitchen disappears, and Jesus appears to you, and next thing you know, he's talking to you every single day, waking you up, talking to you, leading you, talking to you. I mean, God was talking to me. Amen. And they were like, well, So I'd go to the Methodist church, go to the Baptist church, Nazarene church, and with all these sweet churches and sweet, precious people, but they thought I was a little crazy. They thought there was something wrong with me. Because I just knew Jesus was real. And I go to the grocery stores and I felt a need to share with this with everybody. Hey, don't you all know there's a real heaven, there's a real hell? And don't you all know that there's a real heaven, there's a real Jesus, and he's coming back? Are you ready? Do you know Jesus? Talk to everybody. I became so bold. So the point I'm trying to make here right now is that I knew early on that I needed to hear what Jesus said. What did Jesus say about every subject? He has something to say about everything in life. So as a baby Christian, I'd go to this church, went to Baptist churches, several Baptist churches visited. And I would hear things out of the pulpit that didn't line up with what Jesus said. And then I go to another church, but Methodist church. They say things that didn't seem to click with what Jesus said. And then some of them will come over here and say, you know, God makes you sick. And I just didn't click with that because Jesus said, I took stripes for your healing. Okay, on one hand, Jesus is going to make you sick. And because 2,000 years ago, he took terrible, terrible, terrible stripes, 39 of them, for your healing. And then somehow in my little mind, I thought, well, you mean they're over here talking that Jesus made you sick? And I never heard that in these sayings. He never told anybody, I'm going to make you sick so I can heal you. I'm just kind of a schizophrenic God here that I'm going to make you sick. I'm going to cause you problems so I can fix them. You know, I'm going to be the devil on one hand, and I'm going to use the devil just so I can teach you something, or I'm going to make you sick so that I can heal you and show how powerful I am. You know, I'm telling you, I began to question some of their sayings. What are they saying? What's their sayings? They ain't lining up with his sayings. And so I began to seek God with all my heart. Fasted 4 days a week, folks. 4 days a week. I'm serious about this God who showed up in my kitchen and in my living room. And I'm fasting 4 days a week. Did this for months and months and months. Stayed on my face before God. I got calluses on my knees. I prayed so much. I wasn't working in those days. I had 2 children. Glory to God. Amen. Thankful for those times I got to really, really, really get in the Word for myself. And really, really pray and get a hold of God. For me, because when I was going to work full time, it was hard. It was a different picture, totally different ball game. When you're working 8 hours a day and you've got a family to feed and you've got to cook 3 meals and you've got to still juggle cleaning the house and doing all that stuff you normally would do anyway, and then work a full time job and then go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Those were challenging times for me. But I never got away from Jesus' sayings. I made sure I got a healthy dose of his sayings every day. Because he said so much that it would take 10 lifetimes or more, maybe 20 lifetimes to even hear it all. There's a lot to hear. Amen. I mean, hear it properly. But Jesus has a lot of sayings. And he says, if you will hear and do my sayings, I will liken to you as a wise man who built his house upon something called a rock. Now, y'all look at this floor. This is pretty solid. That's a solid floor right here. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the rock. He is the rock you build your house on. And your house is your responsibility. You know, I can't build your house. You can't build my house. Because I'm the only one who has responsibility to hear his sayings. I got to hear his saying, and I got to be fully persuaded that he's saying this to me personally. You see, this is a personal walk. I can't save anybody, and I can't take anybody to heaven. You're going to have to get there on your own. You're going to have to do your own praying. I'll carry you for a while. You know, you can carry baby Christians for a while. Did you know that? Did you know older Christians can carry families even, and brothers and sisters in Christ can carry each other for a while, but to some time in life, you're going to have to grow up and learn how to pray the prayer of faith for yourself. And you're going to have to learn to listen to his sayings on your own. You're going to have to find out what Jesus did. Jesus say about this. Now, let me tell you something else very urgent that we need to get a hold of in these last days. Is instead of crying and bawling about your problem, start speaking to your mountain. Start speaking to that problem and start applying the word of God. Begin to believe what he said about that situation and confess it with your, believe it in your heart. Confess it with your mouth and thou shalt be saved from that situation. Those things are going to come along that you're going to need to be saved from. But I know the one who brought salvation to the human race. And he doesn't have to come back down off his throne and be dragged through the streets of Jerusalem again, or walk through the streets of Jerusalem with a cross. He doesn't have to go be nailed on that cross ever again. He never has to take another beating for your healing. He never has to be raised from the dead again. He doesn't have to go to hell again. He doesn't have to go through all that again. He's already done it once at the end of the world. And it was completed. The plan of salvation is a done deal. Amen. It's all completed. So if you're still crying and bawling and complaining about your problems and trying to get God to come down and fix them, you need to find out what did he say already about it. Amen. What has he already done about it?
That's right.
Find out what he's already provided for you.
Ooh,
find out what he's already said about that situation. Get on your knees like everybody else has to. Get in the Word like everybody else has to. And find out what he has said. He that hears and does my sayings, you'll be a wise person. Mm-hmm. Now, if he said, let's go back now to chapter 7, verse 1. I want to show you a couple things about his sayings. You know, we don't have time in the length of time we have, but I'm going to share a little bit about his sayings here. Chapter 7, verse 1. Now, I could go back all the way back to the beginning of the book, but let's just pick out a segment here. He said, judge not. Judge not that you be not judged. Woo! Woo!
Yes.
Woo! Woo! Lord! You mean I can't judge nobody? You mean I can't judge? You don't know them by the fruit, you know. We're fruit inspectors, you know. We got to figure them out. Then we talk about them. No, we're just really praying for them. We're just worried about them, you know. But just tell everybody about what you found out about them. Get on the gossip line. Most prayer lines are gossip lines. I'm telling you the truth. I've been in Christian for 36 years this year, and I know. Nosy people want to find out all about that situation. Nosy. Busybodies. And they don't know how to put the blinders on and take care of their own problems. They want to fix everybody else's mess. They want to meddle in everybody else's affairs. And they want to be involved in helping them out, of course. But God says, don't you dare judge. Don't you dare think. Don't you put a thought life to that. Don't you put a thought life to that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, then he goes on and he says, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. There is a law. That's a law. That's just not, that's Jesus' sayings, right? Jesus said that. I condescend to believe Jesus. If he says, however you judge, you're going to be judged. If you're out talking about people, I'll guarantee you there's people going to be talking about you. You're setting yourself up for that. Because he just said that's what happens. See, we're wise, aren't we? Aren't we smart? I always said I'm smart. I'm going to heaven. Smart people go to heaven and dumb people go to hell. Truth. It's just the truth. Smart people go to heaven. Dumb people go to hell. Take a dumb person to go to hell to me.
Really?
Especially, and it, to me, it's a dumb person who judges somebody. Especially if Jesus saying, says you'll be judged. Who likes being judged? Anybody like being judged? Anybody like being talked about? Then don't you be talking about nobody. Zip it. Zip it. I'm just telling you Jesus' sayings. This is what Jesus said. And then he says, and I mean, this is good for Teresa, because this is always the worst at this of anybody. So that's why it's so real to me. God's already dealt with me. So with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. I had an experience very early on. My son had pneumonia, and I took him to the hospital, and he was in the hospital for about a week. And while I was there, all these scriptures were new to me. And I'm listening to Jesus' sayings. I'm seriously wanting to hear what Jesus had to say about things. And all of a sudden, I had to go out of the room where the babies were. I was in the nursery. And you remember those old cages they had? I don't know if they still have them now, but 35 years ago, they had the cages. You lift them up, and you have to lower them down. And your child was all like in a prison cell or something, you know, these nursery beds. And I forgot to lower my son's bed thing. I forgot and left it down. Well, I came back. I went to get something to eat, and I came back, and there was a girl whose child was in the bed next to mine. I was like in a ward with the kids. And this girl just ripped me up one side and down the other and just jumped all over me. Do you know you left your baby's bed cage down?
Oh, wow.
Rail down? Don't you know he could have fallen out and killed himself? Don't you know? I mean, this girl didn't even know me, but she let me have it. Judged me in her heart and talked to me. Straightened me out. And I did it innocently. It was like, do you think I wanted to do that? I mean, oh my goodness, but she let me have it. And do you know that girl turned right around and did the same thing the next day? She judged me. She set herself up to do the same thing. Truth. She judged me. And that's how it works. That's just how it works. It may not happen that fast. It may not happen immediately, but it will happen. It will happen. So I'm very, very, very careful about judging people. Don't judge you. Don't care what you look like. Don't care what you dress like. I don't care if you have 50 tattoos. I don't care. I might end up having one myself one day. Who knows? You know, I mean, I don't care. I ain't going to heaven with you anyway. The real you is the real you. That's the part God cares about. And so he goes on and he says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in your brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is thine own eye?" Well, that's all of us. We all do that. "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out that mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Jesus saying, this is Jesus talking. "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." Verse 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Wow, I looked at that verse, I looked at that saying of Jesus, and I thought, that sounds really cool. That is what I want. So you mean you're telling me, Jesus, that if I ask, if I just ask, it'll be given. If I just seek, I will find. If I just knock, it'll be open. Yep, that's what I said. Really? Really? That is pretty neat. That's awesome. Isn't that awesome? That's a saying of Jesus. That is his saying. It's wonderful. I don't know about y'all, but when I was 22, that came as good news to me. So I got busy. That's probably why I had calluses on my knees. I began to ask for everything. I began to seek God for everything. Began to ask him. Began to seek. And I guess what I would do? I would go to him before I'd ask. And I'd say, "Now, Lord, this isn't my idea. This isn't my idea. This is your idea. This is your instructions. I'm just going to do what you said." So I'd get my Bible down. I said, "See here what you said? You said ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you." You know, I'm just a little country girl. Didn't have a lot of education. Mm-hmm. Two babies by the time I was 22. So I'm just seeking and I'm asking. And you said, your saying says that I would receive it.
That's right.
That I would have it. It would be open to me. Mm-hmm. And I have found him to be truthful. I found him to be absolutely, absolutely honorable to what he said. I've found him to be an absolute honorable man of his word. Jesus has never lied to me. People lied to me, but Jesus never lies to me. And so I just started believing God. That's how I started developing something called faith. I started believing God, taking him at his word. And that's all I started doing. Very simple baby steps. Started praying for things. And I'd pray for crazy things. "Lord, I'm baking these biscuits." See, I had to cook a lot. I've cooked my whole life. And I start cooking them biscuits. I say, "Lord, I'm going to ask you to just let these be the best biscuits I ever made." And they're the best biscuits I ever made. Mm-hmm. I'd plant a garden. I planted an acre of land, practically, half an acre. And I did it by myself. And I get on there and pray over that land. Mm-hmm. "Lord, let this be the best garden I've ever had." And it was. Mm-hmm. "For Lord, send me people to help me with this garden." They come from everywhere. Mm-hmm. "Bring the rototillers. Help me out." I just started believing God. You see, I started believing what he said and then acting like it was true. Whoever hears and does shall be likened unto a wise person. You know, I'm a man. I'm a man with a womb, but I'm still mankind. You know, some folks want to think women are just a subspecies of men, but no, we're all people. Neither male nor female, okay? Y'all understand that, right? I hope you do, because it's true. So then he goes on. Verse 8, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be open." That's, I can tell you that happens all the time to me. "For what man is there of you whom his father ask bread, and he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that entereth, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go therein. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. Now, boy, I used to listen to that verse, and I'd hear preachers preach on that verse, and I'd think, I don't know if I can cut it. I don't know if I can make it. I just don't know if I can walk this perfect way of life. I just don't know, Lord, if I can really be that perfect. I just don't know that I can really manage that. I used to be so afraid that I wasn't going to make it to heaven because I can't live it, God. You know, you kick the cat, you cuss out the kids, or you kick the kids and you cuss out the cat. You know, you just do things. Don't we all just do things? And we think, well, I've done missed the straight and narrow. This disqualifies me. I missed the straight and narrow way. And I was always trying to get back on the straight and narrow way, right? Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way. I'm working so hard at being perfect, it was just almost overwhelming. And I thought, oh, Lord, this is too hard to be perfect. I mean, I'm trying so hard to be perfect. Fasting 4 days a week. 4 days a week. Now, ain't nobody tried, I don't think, any harder than that. Nothing but water for 4 days a week. And I'm nursing a baby. And I'm just seeking God with all get out. I'm just like, I'm scared to death of going to hell. And I began to say, God, what is wrong? What is wrong with me? I mean, I just can't seem to do this. It's too hard. And I believe with all my heart that most people try to live out their Christian life like this. They try to be perfect. And you might as well just make an understanding in your heart tonight or today. You're not going to be perfect. You can't be perfect because the perfect one would not have had to come. See, the perfect one came. The perfect one has come. He's not going to come. He's already come 2,000 years ago. I don't know how to make it any clearer that your life is to be hidden in him. When you accepted Jesus, your life is no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. You belong to Jesus. You're not your own anymore. You belong to him. Your name's been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You belong to him. You're his. He bought you. He paid for you. If you've come to him, you're his. And your life is hidden in him. Not trying to be hidden in him. It is hidden in him. It is. It is. There's some things that people need to have revelation of. You see, there's two kinds of knowledge. Y'all hear me real clear here. This is urgent to hear in the last days. There's two kinds of knowledge. Two kinds of knowledge. There's mental head knowledge. Knowledge that we get from textbooks. Knowledge that we can read and get just because we're intelligent. And we can read and think on our own. And knowledge. I'm talking knowledge. You can learn about Egypt. You can learn about Spain. You can learn all about the president. There's knowledge out there. Wealth of knowledge. But then there's something called revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is not head knowledge. Revelation is heart knowledge. Revelation is from God. Revelation knowledge comes straight from the throne of God himself. Out of his mouth proceeds wisdom. And he says, I want you to be wise. If you'll hear my sayings, which comes from God, came forth from God, you will be like on a rock. You can be established on the rock. Jesus told the disciples, did he not say this in Matthew 16? He said, who do men say that I am? He asked Peter, who do men say that I am? Well, some say this, some say that. Well, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him immediately and said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. If you ever get revelation knowledge, it didn't come from people. It didn't come from me. It didn't come from a human being. It came from God. Revelation knowledge comes by the Spirit of God. And if you ever get it, you know you got it. If you ever have the light bulb switch come on in your heart, it'll ick anything else in your head. It will absolutely override all your religious stinky thinking. See, we've been religiously brainwashed instead of Bible taught.
Amen.
We got to hear from God. We got to hear his sayings on the subject. And his word trumps the word that people would tell me 100 times over. Trumps it. Always. Now, going back to that straight and narrow way. Straight and narrow, right? Narrow is the gate. Narrow is the way. Broad is the gate. Wide is the path that leads to destruction. That's what Jesus said. But what is he saying? What is he really saying about you being perfect? You going through that gate. And few there be that find it. There's few people who really walk in revelation knowledge of the Word of God. There's very few people who really enter in through that gate. There's very few people who enter into revelation gate of God. There's a revelation gate. Whew. Y'all get that?
Yes, amen.
There's a revelation gate. Mm-hmm. There's a revelation word. There's a saying of Jesus' word. Mm-hmm. And when you enter into that, you've entered in the straight way.
Yes.
Isn't that good?
Yes, amen. Praise God.
That's his ways. His ways. Mm-hmm. His sayings. Mm-hmm. If you can just get a revelation hearing word,
yes,
and you hear it in your heart, that's the gate. That's the gateway into the kingdom. Jesus said you got to be born again, or you can't even enter into this kingdom, because you got to have a spiritual hearing ear to hear the kingdom talking. It's a language all of its own. Kingdom language is not an earthly way of language, a way of life. It's a kingdom language. It's kingdom instructions. It's kingdom living. It's kingdom life. Glory to God. Isn't it good?
Yes, amen.
So a lot of things we've been taught wrong, even out of the pulpits, we need to just get a word from God about it. Begin to pray. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 17. Begin to seek God. Give me the spirit of wisdom, Lord. Give me the spirit of revelation, the knowledge of you. Let my eyes of understanding be enlightened. Let me know what is the hope of your calling in Christ Jesus. Let me be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length, the depth, the breadth, and to know the love of God that passeth all knowledge and all understanding. He'll give it to you. Didn't he say, ask and you shall receive?
Mm-hmm.
Seek and you shall find? Knock and it shall be opened unto you? For everyone that seeketh, everyone that asks receives? I just took him at his word. I said, I don't understand a thing that's going on in this life. I don't understand why I'm so mean, why I'm so hard-headed. I don't understand me. See, you know, the fool's always looking to try to figure out himself, right? Find out himself. Well, I just had to find out Jesus. I had to seek the Lord and find Jesus. So the straight gate is not you being perfect. The straight gate is starting to think like he thinks. To start letting his image be built in you. He said that out of the knowledge of God has been commanded to shine in the face of Jesus Christ. Did you all know that? Says it. Says it in the Word. That if you look at Jesus and you get to know Jesus, God has commanded the light to shine through him. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And he's also your personal high priest. He is my high priest. He said, anyone that will come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Anyone. I'm an anyone, I'm a whosoever. Anyone that comes to Jesus, he said, I'll never cast you out. So I know if I go to Jesus and I say, Lord, I don't understand about this, I don't understand about that, he's not going to turn me away. He said, come unto me, all you labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Let me tell you, the greatest rest is knowing he's with you.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest rest is knowing that he's already got it taken care of based on what he has said. But there is a key. There is a key to the kingdom. There is a key to unlocking things in the kingdom for your life. And it's urgent that we understand that we can't just float along life and say, oh, God will take care of me. God will just take care of me. I mean, I'm just trusting Jesus. I'm just walking along his life, trusting Jesus. I don't care what you say about me. I don't care what you do. Oh, I'm just trusting Jesus. You know, do you know that is a foolish way to think? Foolish way to think. Oh, God just loves me so much. He died for me. So, you know, he'll just take care of the devil. The Lord will deal with the devil. I don't have to worry about that. Nowhere in the New Testament is it ever instructed anyone, I'm talking anyone who wrote the books to the church, which are our letters to us in the New Covenant, Peter, John, Paul, then none of them that wrote the New Testament, James, ever told us to ask God to deal with the devil. Never. Never. You can't find a scripture that says, this is what you do. You ask God to take care of the devil. Go to God and ask God to deal with the devil. You know why? Because he already dealt with the devil.
That's right.
He's already dealt with the devil.
That's right.
He already stripped him of all authority.
That's right.
He went to hell and raised from the dead and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got all authority is committed unto me in heaven and earth. He has all authority. But guess what he did? Before he left this earth, he told the disciples, he said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And then he also told them, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore. So he delegated his authority and his power over the devil to the church.
Mm-hmm.
To the church.
Right.
And we're still trying to get Jesus to take care of the devil. When he said, you take care of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You deal with the devil. Jesus, he looked at Peter and he says, upon this rock I'm going to build my church. You got the revelation that didn't come from man. It came from God. You know who I am in Christ. You know who I am. And you therefore know who you are in me. And whatsoever you bind shall be bound. And whatever you loose shall be loosed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. It is. I'll give you keys to the kingdom.
Yes.
Straight and narrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Enter in. You've got to enter in through revelation. You enter into the things of walking in the victory of the kingdom of God. See, God expects us to have a victorious life. He's already provided it. It's like if you were given $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
It all belongs to you. Someone put it in the bank for you. It's in the bank waiting on you. But if you never go to the bank and you never write a check on it and you never make demands on that money, it is just going to sit there and be useless to you. Useless to you. I've learned to put some things in action. And you know how you put them in action? You put them in action with your mouth. You put them in action with what you say. You've got to get, yeah, life and death is in the power of your tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Glory to God. And so I just started saying what Jesus said. He said, if you'll hear my sayings and do them. Well, if he has sayings, it makes sense to me. This is just common sense country thinking. Well, then I need to say what he says. If Jesus was here, what would he do? Remember we had just to wear the braces, what would Jesus do? Well, we need to start saying what Jesus would say. We need to start talking to our mountains. He talked to fig trees. He said, whosoever shall say to that mountain, be removed and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. There's another saying.
Amen.
Well, let's just do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that. Let's just do that.
Amen.
And then he says, whenever you stand doing that,
mm-hmm.
forgive. If you've got aught against any, forgive. So your Father in heaven can forgive you. You know?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to go on. I kind of took some side journeys there, but I want to continue on this because right here in chapter 7 is an awful lot of revelation if you just look at it and listen. I'll let you walk away from here with something substantial, sustaining. We need something that'll cling to our ribs, you know, our spiritual ribs, don't we? Don't you get out here and face a world that's full of hostility against the believer's faith? Your faith is challenged every single day of this life. Every day. Every day. I was 20 years in dentistry. Every day I had to face people that were full of the devil and yielded to that way of thinking, who believed his sayings and not Jesus' sayings. They're in absolute opposition to each other. And the thing is, people do not want to accept the fact the devil is a real persona. He's a real personality. And he is absolutely against raises himself against anything Jesus says, opposes it. Completely. So you've got to just determine in your heart and in your mind you're going to stand up for what you know Jesus said. I follow Jesus. Did you follow Jesus? I follow Jesus. And I'm a wise man. I'm a wise person because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth into life and few there be that find it. That's sad. That's sad. So if you are walking in revelation knowledge, you're one of the few. Now, we're talking few compared to billions and billions and billions of people, okay? And I think I heard statistically that there's more people on planet Earth right now living than have ever lived and died in the last 6,000 years. Full of people. And the evangelism has never been riper right now. Time to reach the lost has never been greater.
He's pouring out his spirit.
He really is. Don't be afraid of what's going to come in the mail. Who's going to make the next phone call? My kid's going to wake me up in the middle of the night. I used to walk around afraid I'm going to get sick. I'm going to get something bad. I mean, just terrified, worried, and scared. Now, you don't want to admit it now. You don't want to admit it, but you always walk around with this little bad thought in your mind. Well, you know, something bad might come. And all of a sudden, I found a verse that says in John, 1 John, he says that where there is fear, fear hath torment. And who the Son makes free is free indeed. But he that feareth is not made perfect in love, because perfect love casteth out all fear. All fear. Now that's a reality check for us. That's revelation knowledge. The revelation knowledge, see, that's just not possible without God. There's no way a human being can live on this planet without some little inkling of some kind of fear of something. Because we've got so many past experiences. You know, we've got past to deal with. We've got past hurts. We've got past situations. And to ever get to the place where you don't ever think that could be repeated, we have a deal with that. Oh, no, this person could do the same thing to me again. And there's always that maybe. But see, once you ever walk in the revelation, the straight gate, go through that straight gate, that narrow way, and you live in this path, this is a way of life, you begin to realize you can never, ever, ever go back to being afraid of anything. You're stepping into something called a walk and life of faith, a revelation walk of the Word of God. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth into life. He's talking about eternal life. This is an eternal way of life. You see, when you got born again, you passed from death, which is spiritual death, or the devil's nature that was under the curse, you passed from death into eternal life, which is the nature of God. Zoe is the nature, living, breathing nature of God is in you now. You're a new creature now. You're a new creature, and you avail everything that God has given you in the new creature way of life is yours. And you had to get born again to get the new creature, Zoe kind of life in you, that divine nature, the very nature of God is in you. Your heart doesn't want to sin. You've got the nature of God living in you. And it's almost like you've been totally programmed to receive divine revelation from God. You'll never be able to go back and enjoy sin again once you ever get born again. You can try, but I think the backslider is the most miserable human being on the face of the earth. Because once they ever pass from death into life, you know the difference, don't you? You know the difference. So here you are, you're a new creature in Christ. You know that you pass from death unto life. You know that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Don't ever ask God to give you love for people. Don't ever ask God to give you love, because He's already given you love. Mm-hmm. When you accepted Him, the Holy Spirit came in and did a recreative work in your human spirit. You got born again of the human spirit, and the love of God was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, and He never took it away. We just have to learn how to access the things of the kingdom by faith. You access these things. Walter, you access God by your faith. You access God by your mouth. You start talking the same things Jesus talked. You start doing the things Jesus did. This is how we walk by faith. We obey His sayings. I don't mean do everything perfect. I'm talking hear revelation knowledge. He never talked natural talk, did He? He always talked revelation. He's a revelation God. Now let's go on and let's go to verse 15. Or 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistle? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. You and I have been called to bear fruit. Absolutely. And I'm going to maybe up in somebody's theology when I say this, what I'm getting ready to say. But we have been so religiously brainwashed to think that it's all about being nice, sweet, kind little people that imitate sweet Jesus and walk around with pretty Jesus feet and never hurt anybody's feelings or never say anything bad, and that's bearing fruit, just being sweet, nice people. And that's, you know, that's nothing wrong with being sweet, nice people. and living a nice, happy, little, wonderful life. But to bear fruit the way he's really talking about us bearing fruit, has to do with your prayer life. It has to do with the souls you win for the kingdom. We are fruitful people. God never brought a person into the kingdom of God and did not expect them to bear fruit. In fact, he said that if you don't bear fruit, you'll be hewed down and cast into the fire. And how did he talk about that? Well, he says it in St. John chapter 15. If you abide in me and I abide in you, my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. Ask what you will. Therefore, you're going to bear much fruit, he said. So we're going to have to do some fruit bearing. And how you bear fruit is through what you believe and how you talk, how you pray, and what you say. Your mouth will produce fruit. You produce fruit. You're either producing yucky fruit or good fruit. That's really it. So we've got to start thinking about what are we saying? And you only will say what you're thinking. We get so much stinky thinking. The enemy comes in, lies to us, tells us this, gives us a situation. Next thing you know, you've reverted right back to the way of the devil. You've reverted right back to the way of the world. And you're talking like the world, thinking like the world, and you're going to get what the world gets. If you don't get into the revelation knowledge of the Word of God and get on that straight path and change the way you think, change the way you talk, start talking the way Jesus talks, start thinking the way Jesus thinks, and start speaking to your mountains and bear some fruit from the kingdom. Did I upend anybody's theology a little? It's the truth. It's just the truth. It's the kingdom way of life, the straight and narrow way. Now, did I say it was an easy way? People want easy. I want easy. You know, I'll do whatever God says to do, but if it's easy, God. Well, it wasn't easy for me to learn how to believe God for everything. And it took time for me to get to the place where I trusted God 100%. Because I was one of these make it happen people. But I started believing God for broken down cars, broken down stuff, and started calling stuff in. And man, I tell you, I started believing God for stuff. And then I started believing God for me. Fix me. You'll know them by the fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. Are they always whining and complaining? Are they always begging and crying? Feeling sorry for themselves? Talking about how bad it is? They ain't bearing some good fruit there. If they're walking in victory and they're speaking to their mountains and they're seeing manifestation of their prayers answered, they're bearing some fruit now. If they're walking in divine health, they're speaking to their bodies. And they got a pain. Pain, get out of that body. And it goes. They're bearing some fruit, wouldn't you say? Mm-hmm. Kingdom fruit. Right. Kingdom fruit. Precious fruit. Mm-hmm. Because it was born out of your spirit man first, because you believed the word of God and you spoke it out of your mouth and it commanded that thing to come forth, and it came forth because you commanded it to. Whosoever shall say to that mountain, be removed, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Mm-hmm. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Yes. Not go to God and say, God, will you please talk to that mountain? God, will you please talk to the devil? God, will you do something about that problem? God, will you convict that person? God, will you just give them a good whooping? God, will you do this? God, will you? No, you talk to them.
Yes, amen.
You talk to the devil. You bind the devil. Oh, it's my goodness, it's all over the word. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But we got to do some resisting. And along with the resisting comes some talking. You say to that mountain, you say to that devil, you identify, the Holy Ghost will show you what kind of devil it is. He'll show you exactly what you're dealing with. You old jealous spirit, I just take authority over you working through that person. I bind you in the name of Jesus. You shut your mouth in the name of Jesus. The word of God declares that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I can condemn it. Well, I condemn that tongue right there in the name of Jesus. You know, Jesus came to deliver us from the curse of the law. And I totally am convinced and persuaded that he did it. He's already done it. He's not going to have to come down and do it again. I've been delivered from the curse. So why do I act like the curse has still got a heart part of me? It doesn't. Doesn't. The curse is gone in my life. I don't live in condemnation. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. If the devil comes along and makes you feel sad, bad, and like you failed, just talk to him and tell him there's no condemnation. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to the devil. If you have done something really, really bad, and you've really messed up big, and you've sinned the worst sin imaginable, and the devil will definitely come along and remind you of what you did. You know what you did? And you know what I do? I put it under the blood. I put it under the blood, and once it's under the blood, guess what happens when it gets on the... Guess what happens when the blood of Jesus touches that thing? It is like, phew, annihilated. Like it never happened. God somehow, I don't know how he does it, but he's got a sea of forgiveness, and he literally takes that thing and throws it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. So who do you think you are to remember it if God doesn't remember it? Who do you think you are not to forgive yourself if God forgave you? And he forgave you 2,000 years ago. He doesn't have to come down and die again and shed his blood to forgive you. He forgave you. I'm forgiven. And I continue to be forgiven. And I continue to be forgiven. That's a straight and narrow way. I just learned to keep running to Jesus and asking, forgive me, Lord. I come to the blood. The throne of God is available to the believer. We have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens. That means we can pass into the heavens through him. We have access to the throne of God. He's got the mercy seat with the blood that'll be there forever as a testimony for what he did forever. We have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens. He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace to receive grace, mercy, and help in time of need. You know what? I march up to God boldly. If he said I can do it boldly, and this is the thing we forget. He didn't have to go to the cross. Nobody made him die. He did it because he knew we needed him to. He did it for me. And why not take advantage of all that he's provided? He willingly died so I could have all that he gave. When he died, he says, given. He says, all things are yours. All things are yours. And he doesn't have to use the devil to teach us anything because I'll guarantee you, the devil is working overtime, double time to attack you. He doesn't go to God and can I please have permission to attack them? No, we're on his territory. He has a legal right to be here. He has a legal right to be here. You don't have to go very far for the enemy to plan an attack against you. He's always trying to figure out a way to trip you up. He's an intelligent genius, evil genius. He never stops thinking about how to get you back. I'm going to tell you something. The devil thinks you belong to him. He's schizophrenic crazy. He is. You'll never convince him that you belong to God. When you got free from that devil, every single sinner has a ruling evil spirit. Did you know that? It's true. Every single lost person has one, at least one. Some have many more company. Some have, like I've seen many on board. Not just one devil, I'm on many devils working. But there's always at least one ruling spirit over every single sinner. If you understand this, this is revelation. It'll help you in dealing with people that are sinners. Don't ever trust a sinner. Don't you ever trust a sinner, because it's just like trusting somebody that the devil's their father, okay? And the lust of their father they will do. There's good people, but they're sinners. Don't trust sinners. They can turn on you in a heartbeat. Turn on you just like that. And your family can be some of the worst to do it. Mocked through people. Because they're helpless to defend him off. They're helpless to ward him off. They're helpless. They don't have any defense against him. Thank God we have revelation knowledge and we know the blood of Jesus has been applied to our life. And we know whose we are and whom we serve. And we can say we have authority over him. We have authority. There's three kinds of churches, and God's getting ready to fix this, I believe, with all my heart. I'm praying about it. There's three kinds of churches. There's the defeated group of people that serving God as a defeated bunch. Oh, Lord. Been taught they know this is going to barely get through here. Just hang on. Just hang on. They want to die. They want to go to heaven. They never, ever have, never happy. Never happy bunch of believers. They believe in God, but they don't know anything about victory. They don't know anything about walking in authority. And then there is the militant church. And the militant church is always warring, always fighting the devil, always asking God to deal with the devil. They never seem to ever walk around in peace. They're still struggling and fighting and warring and wear you out. And I've been there. Then there is the church that I believe that the Lord is raising up. And this is the church I believe God is establishing here in Midway. And this is the kind of church I believe God is raising up all over the world. And it's called the Triumphant Church. And you know why we're the Triumphant Church? because we know that we've been made to sit in heavenly places with Christ.
Yes.
We are His body and He is the head.
Yes.
Your head needs your body and your body needs your head. Just mm-hmm. tell your head to walk out of this room and see what happens to your body. It goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
And God is raising up the body to be who He is and do His sayings. Doing His sayings is doing what Jesus would do if He was here. I had a dream a couple weeks ago, and I saw the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit was giving me like I was looking down on this body, and He was kind of giving me some instruction. He said, this is what I'm doing in the earth right now. The body is getting ready to totally be so connected to the head that the body responds automatically to whatever Jesus says to do. And they're obeying the sayings of Jesus in a way they've never obeyed the sayings of Jesus before.
Wow.
Through revelation.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is your connection to the head.
Mm-hmm.
See? The Holy Spirit doesn't talk on His own. He said, I only speak what I hear. But we have been dull of hearing to respond. We need to start responding to what He says. But how are you going to respond to something you don't know? How are you going to know if you don't ever know the Word of God? It's time to know the Word. It's time to know the will of God. Bringing forth good fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, I don't know this necessarily if that's just talking about going to hell. I don't know if that's just really talking about going to hell, but I tell you what, there's some fiery trials that can come at you, and you can fall right into them. I don't know how to deal with the enemy. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from you, you that work iniquity. Now, this working iniquity thing, this working iniquity, there is something a difference in falling into sin. I know we've been taught we're just sinners saved by grace. No, you're not a sinner saved by grace. Let me just deal with that.
Okay.
You are not a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner, and you are saved, but you're not a sinner now. Love you, I'm just a sinner that's saved by grace. No, you're not a sinner that was saved by grace. You were a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
You were.
Right.
We all were. But now you're saved by grace. That means now you're a saint.
That's good.
Yay, you're a saint. You've been made to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Ain't no sinners in heavenly places with Jesus, okay?
Amen.
You're a saint. Time to understand that He became sin for you, that you knew no sin, that you could be made the righteousness of God in Him. You now are made righteous. He did that 2,000 years ago. He's not going to come down and make you righteous. That happened. That all part of the package of being a believer.
Thank you,
you got to have that revelation. There's that straight gate revelation. No condemnation. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Awesome. And let me tell you something. It helps your prayers get answered too. When you go to God and you ain't got this old yuck stuff all over you. Oh, I'm just an old sinner. I got to repent for everything I've done for the last 3 days. For God will ever hear me. No, the minute you... Listen, I deal with it the minute anything happened. Lord, forgive me. Holy Spirit's there in you to check you anyway. He says in Philippians, He says, if you be any otherwise minded, God will reveal that to you. You can just relax. Relax and enjoy God. I love being a Christian. I enjoy being a Christian. It took a while to learn how to do it right and live for God right and hear His sayings properly and get some revelation under my belt. You have to know the will of God for you can do the will of God, right? So the will of God is His word. And in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Well, you know, women are supposed to be silent in the church. I can show that to you, you know.
Yeah.
How many times have I heard that one? Well, is God schizophrenic? Is God fickle? Does He say in one place that His women are going to prophesy, talk, and then they're supposed to be quiet? There's a contradiction there. So we got to understand what He's really saying in His word about that. And that's part of knowing and understanding His sayings. Because if you don't rightly discern the word, you're going to be a mess. You're going to be stalking prey for the devil. He'll know your weaknesses. He knows what you believe and what you don't believe. And if you believe wrong, he'll take advantage of the wrong you believe. If you believe God is using sickness to teach you something, then he'll take advantage of that from you. And you'll never be able to pray the prayer of faith against, because you are praying against God. You better know who the devil is. The devil's bad and God is good. God is 100% good, and he's 100% on your side, and he 100% dealt with the devil 2,000 years ago, not going to deal with the devil. He's already dealt with the devil. You're just going to have to wake up and believe that and start speaking to your sickness, speaking to your disease, walk in victory in it. Now, it's one thing to be sick and have to believe God for your healing. In James, it says, any sick among you. Now, he wrote that, I believe, in a time when it would have been like, no, nobody. Anybody? You say something like that in churches today, everybody's sick. Everybody. Any sick among you? It'd be a dumb thing to say in a church today. Right? Because everybody's got something wrong with them. Everybody's got a pill for something. Everybody. Any sick among y'all here? Well, he would never say that. But he said that in a time when people understood how to walk in victory over sickness. Because it was of the devil. Sickness is of the devil. It's under your feet, by the way. Read Ephesians. I don't have time to read Ephesians, but I want to finish what I'm starting here. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom. And I ain't just talking about going to heaven. It's talking about entering into the benefits of being a believer now. Because, see, every good thing comes out of heaven now. We need to know how to access the kingdom now. I need to enter in the kingdom every day of my life. Do you all understand? We have to be biblically taught and not religiously brainwashed. Well, that's what my top church teaches. Well, maybe your church teaches wrong. Maybe you need to hear Jesus' sayings. Because Jesus would not tell you that you could speak to a mountain if you couldn't. He would not say to you that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could say to that sycamore tree. How hard is it to get faith? It's easy. Faith comes from hearing. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You can't ask God for faith. It comes by, you do it by what he said it comes by. It comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Faith should be growing in somebody's heart today. Because you heard some word. You've been hearing sayings of Jesus, right? Faith should be growing. Things should be jumping out of windows in your head right now. Well, maybe I better kick that thought out. Maybe I kick that. Put the word in there. Put the word in there. Put what Jesus said in there. And no thought should be left unchecked if it's of the enemy. You need to deal with your thought life. Deal with your thought life and deal with it aggressively. Casting down imaginations. And bring every thought to the obedience of Christ, his sayings. Amen. Bring that thought into captivity. Say, no, I'm not going to think bad about myself no more. I'm not going to think bad about God's property. I'm not going to allow you one more time, devil, to make me feel like I'm not any good. I'm not going to go around feeling like I'm worthless ever again. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. And everything I put my hand to, it prospers. That's what God says about me. I'm the apple of his eye. I'm written and graven in the palm of his hand. Glory to God. Anybody getting excited about that? I walk around knowing who I am in Christ. And no weapon formed against me can prosper. I cast down those imaginations. Well, you know you're going to die young. No, you ain't, because the word says in Psalm 91, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Are you satisfied with living a little longer? I am.
Yes.
Then he said, with long life I'll satisfy you. Just find out what he has said about the subject. Find out what he said. My God supplies my needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I go to the Lord. I said, Lord, you supply my needs. You supply my needs. I'm not worried and afraid about nothing. Nothing. No weapon formed against me prospers. And, you know, I had an attack of Bell's palsy back in 1993, and the vision came before me. And the Lord spoke a word to me. And he said to me, and I didn't even know this verse was here, but let's look at it. It's chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verse 18. I'm sitting in a dental office working just on a Friday afternoon. Well, actually, I think it's Friday around 10, 11 o'clock. And all of a sudden, I started feeling this weird feeling in my face. And I thought, something going on. I'm busy, busy, busy. And if you ever worked in dentistry, you never stop. You just there, you hit the floor, you just work, work, work all day long. And most jobs are like that. And all of a sudden, I started feeling like, something going on with my face. And the doctor come up to me and he said, "What's wrong with your face?" I said, "I don't know. What's wrong with my face?" He said, "Well, go look in the mirror." Well, it looked awful. And all of a sudden, I saw a vision. I had a vision in front of me, a screen come up before me. Now, if anybody ever had a vision, it's like, it was just like if you put these words on this screen, it was just, I read it across the screen. And I saw it in the spirit realm. I saw it with my spiritual eyes. See, I've got spirit. You have a counterpart to everything you have in the natural. You have spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, spiritual everything. It's like a hand and glove. You put a glove on your hand. The real you is in you. And so I was listening. I looked at this screen, and all of a sudden, this verse right here, and I'm telling y'all the truth. I did not know this verse was in the Bible. I'd never read this verse before. It really never meant anything to me before until that day. And this is what he said to me. I read it right out. I read it out in space. I saw it. He said, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever." 2 Timothy 4:18. And I got home that afternoon and I looked it up in the concordance. We didn't have computers like we do today, doing things we do today. But I stood on that. I stood on that word, and I told the doctor, I said, "My God shall deliver me," and I looked awful, "from every evil work." This is not a good work. This is from the pit of hell. This is from the devil, and it's got to go. Right. And I never once said I had Bell's palsy, never once. And within 12 days, it was gone. But see, I had to believe in my heart and confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. This is his saying. This came out of heaven. This is a straight and narrow gate we're talking about today. And walking it by faith. Now, I want you to write these. If you got pens and paper, write this down. In Habakkuk 2:4. Habakkuk 2:4 says, "The just shall live by his faith." Romans 1:17, "The just shall live by faith." Y'all get that? Galatians 3:11, "The just shall live by faith." And Hebrews 10:38, "The just shall live by faith." So there's all those verses, four witnesses, that if you're the justified, you're the born again, you're the ones been made a new creature, you're the ones that's been made the righteousness of God in Christ, you're the ones who are saints and seated in heavenly places, there's only one way for you to live, and one way only, by faith. Faith in what he has said, listening to his sayings and doing them, doing his saying. And it's not that hard. Y'all think it's hard? No, I'll tell you what, it's hard. It's hard on your stinking flesh. Your flesh won't like it. And your brain will fight you. But you get over in your spirit. You start building up your spirit, man. You start walking in the spirit and be led by the spirit, because they that are led of the spirit of God are the sons of God. Amen. You start allowing your human spirit to take dominion over the rest of you, and you will be enjoying your life. You won't want to die and go to heaven early. You won't want to be checking out, and you won't be crying and bawling and squalling all the time anymore. You'll be walking in victory, because that's where you've been made to sit, in heavenly places. Do you think there's anything greater than that, being with Jesus, seated with him, far above all dominion, power, might, that is named in heaven and earth? Mm-hmm. That's where we are seated, and we've got to get here, brothers and sisters, because these are the last days, and the Antichrist is getting ready to make an appearance, and we better know how to believe God for everything, because he said, "I'll supply all your needs." He didn't say just a few, he meant all, and he meant it. He meant it. Well, Father, I seal this word today. I thank you for this revelation word. And I thank you, God, that you've written your word in our heart and our mind. And we are your people. You're our God. And this is the covenant you said that I will make with the house of Israel, that in those days, that I will place my word in their mind, and I'll write my word in their heart, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your revelation word today, that we are your people. We are the people of God. You said, "I will dwell in them, and I will live in them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." I thank you, Father. Thank you, God, for this revelation today, that it will not return void, but it will accomplish everything that you sent it to do. I thank you for using me today, Lord. It's an honor and a privilege to be your handmaiden. In Jesus' name.